We're in John chapter 1, and over the next couple minutes, we're going to talk through this. And, you know, I know we have Jimmy's family here 2 weeks ago today. Actually, during our anniversary service, while I was speaking, I got a text from Elena that Jimmy had passed. And I know so many of you have been praying and buying T-shirts and supporting. And we wanted, at the end of our service today, Elena's going to come up. And she's going to talk for a second. And, you know, I just really wanted to honor Jimmy, his life, and the way he lived. I mean, there's so many questions, you guys, at 34 years of age for cancer to do that. But I'm just telling you right now, if Jimmy could come here, the things that he would say to us would be unbelievable. I mean, he's experiencing something that we long for. Amen? And so I just wanted to share some things from John 1 as we start our summer series. And I'm going to share some things, and then Elena's going to come up. Because I know you guys, you're going to be disconnected at some point this summer. You're going to travel. Girls softball team's going to go to state. And you're going to... And Memorial Day happens, and the 4th of July happens, and you're going to be traveling, okay? You're going to be all over the place. And so during the summer, we strive to stay connected. And so if you're a person in this room, you're like, what should I be reading this summer? I think it's awesome that we could come together, read the book of John. I think the book of John of all four Gospels is very distinct. And here's why. Because the book of John doesn't just talk about the events of what Jesus did. He goes into great detail of why Jesus did them. And it's this claim and this claim alone. It is to determine and to share that Jesus is God. 100%. That's the reason John says that's why he says the seven I am statements. He talks about the seven miracles that Jesus did, and he goes into detail as to why Jesus did those. You guys, we live in a culture where now pastors are saying there's another way to God besides Jesus. That's happening, you guys. I've been around men who call themselves pastors that say there's other ways to God besides Jesus. Let me just be real clear on this, on where we stand. There is no other way to God except through Jesus. Amen. That's it. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, and this is why John says what he says. Okay, so we have to understand this first and foremost. Okay, so we're going to be studying John. You'll know every week, like, oh, where's the church at? You'll know we're in John 4 or John 6 or John 7. You know where we are. And so if you can't be here, you can't tune in, you at least are being able to read with what we're talking about. Okay? John chapter 1, verse 6. God sent a man. Say, God sent. John the Baptist to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. Okay? Here's what you and I have to see. No matter your circumstance, no matter where you live, no matter where you work, no matter what school you go to, God has sent you into your situation, into your family, to bear witness of the light. Like, that is your role. That is your calling. There should be no insecurity on this. There should be no confusion on this. Some of you are struggling with what you need to do with the rest of your life, what school you need to go to. Those are fine. You struggle away with that. But understand this. God sent you. God has called you. And here's the calling, to be witness to the light. You are not the light. You are to bear witness of the light. You and I like to sometimes be the light. We like to be like, oh, hey, everybody, you see a little bit of Jesus in me. Is that what's going on? We like that. You know why we like that? Because we love ourselves. A lot of amens on that one. Oh, no, I'm humble. I'm at church now. I can't say that I love myself. You do. You do. This is not why he came. He came to bear witness of the light. And he's unusual. John is weird. He doesn't dress like all the other religious leaders. He didn't go to Jerusalem to declare his ministry. He went to the wilderness. He wore camel hair. He ate locusts. And he said things that offended people. He called them out for what was really happening. This was an unusual guy. He was not promoting John the Baptist International Ministries. That wasn't his concern. He knew who he was, and more importantly, he knew who he wasn't. You and I have to see this. If we're going to point people to Jesus effectively, we have to know who we are not. That's where he starts. He starts from there. You have to know who we are not. Verse 19. This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" Here's what he said. "I came right out and said, I am not the Messiah." Right from the beginning, he's telling them who he's not. "I am not the Messiah. I am not Elijah. And I am not a prophet." From the very beginning. He didn't say who he was. He said, "This is who I'm not. Do not confuse me. I am not Jesus. I am not Elijah coming in form." Because everybody in the culture, they were expecting a savior, and they were wondering if Elijah was ever coming back because of how he went out. So everybody, and Jesus even prayed and prophesied about John the Baptist that he would have the spirit of Elijah. That's different than being Elijah. Okay, so we have to understand that. They're wanting to know. He says, "Nope, I'm not Jesus, I'm not Elijah, and I'm not a prophet." You and I have to walk in this understanding. Know who you are, yes, but know who you're not. Okay, we screw a lot of things up when we pretend that we're something that we're not. Okay, hear me, don't get offended, or as the teenagers say, butt hurt. I said that in the first service, and people freaked out. So I had to make sure I said it in the second one. 9 a.m. can't handle what you can handle, all right? They didn't get enough sleep. They just can't handle what you can. You're a little more spiritually mature in the 10:30. That's why you don't need the 9 a.m. Anyway. Someone's like, "You really said butt hurt in the service." I'm like, "Yeah. For the 55 and older, that means offended." Okay? Offended. You're offended that I said butt hurt. Okay? Well, this took a nice turn, didn't it? To effectively point others to Jesus, we need to be clear on who we are. Verse 22. "Then who are you?" We need an answer for those who sent us. "What do you have to say about yourself?" John replied in these words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming." Then the Pharisees who had been sent asked him, "If you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or a prophet, what right do you have to baptize?" John told them, "I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be a slave and untie the straps of his sandal." This encounter took place in Bethany, an area east of the Jordan River, where John was baptizing. John knew and saw himself as a voice of the one crying. What is so cool to me is it says a voice. It doesn't say the voice. It doesn't say a greater voice. It doesn't say an important voice. It says he is a voice. You and I in this room are a voice that is either preparing the way of Jesus or we're pointing people away from Jesus. That how we live and what we say and how we love and the facial expressions we make and how we respond is either pointing and preparing people to receive Jesus or we're putting them another direction. That's what's happening. This is what John is saying. John is clarifying. That's why later in John 3 he says, "I must decrease and he must increase for me to be effective." Listen, if we are called to be a voice and to be witnesses of what Jesus has done, then we better have a relationship because I can only give out what I have. I'm a witness of something, okay? If I'm a witness of something, I can only share with you what I've experienced. And if I've experienced a good church experience, you're going to tell anybody and everybody. But if you're sharing what God is doing in your life, and it's not counterfeit, and it's every single day, and it's a personal relationship, you'll have no problem pointing people to Jesus. See, our job, our role is to build the kingdom of God. And that's what Jill was talking about. That's what we all should be doing. We all should be building the kingdom of God as the one, just like John, preparing the way. When we're clear on who we are in God's kingdom, we can effectively point others to Jesus. We can effectively point others to Jesus. Here's four quick things. If you're into religion rather than Christ, you will flatter yourself with religious performances rather than humble yourself in the presence of Jesus. If this is about a relationship with Jesus, you will not put in front of a holy God your performance and your performance of, well, you gave, your performance of you're consistent in your church attendance, your performance of look how great of a person you are to the other people. He says, no, that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is how humble are we? Are we living humble lives? Are we living in humility? Are we spreading when religious leaders show up just like they did with John? And they showed up to catch John. They didn't show up to repent like John was wanting them. They showed up to trick him, to stop him. So we have to understand, before we start thinking that we're more religious than we are, pride kept them from repenting. What is keeping us from repenting? What keeps us from humbly saying things like, on the way home from church, or the way home from a date, or the way home with your kids, asking this question, honey, what would you change about me? Honey, what is it that I can do that would help you out? How can I be a better husband? This is whether we believe in miracles or not. What if a teenager went to their parents and said, Mom, Dad, what can I do to help you out as a mom? And I don't even need allowance. What can I do as a 14, 15, 16-year-old softball player that will help my mom out? That will help my mom out. Mom, I want to serve you. You know, only humble people do that. That's the only way. There's no girls, I apologize. Singling you out. What are we choosing? I'm choosing humility. I'm choosing to live a life of serving. He said slave. He said things like, I'm a slave to him, or I'm not even worthy to untie his straps. What happens in that moment? I'm submitting to the people around me. You don't have to just be a voice to the people around you. You have to serve the people around you. And when they see humility, they want what you have before you ever even say a word. What happens if you say, as a teammate or as a classmate or as an employee, I want to make you better? You know why we don't that? Because we don't want people to be better than us. We don't want that. We may say we do, but we don't want that. If my job is to leave people better, if my job is to share the gospel with them, and it's not about always being a voice, and it's about serving them, then how am I doing that effectively? You can't do that and be religious. You have to do that only in humility. That's the only way. A humble person will say, what can I do? What can I do? Yeah. Secondly, you can only evaluate yourself correctly and point people to Jesus to the extent you truly know him. Hear this. It will be better at the last day never to have been born than to have had Christ standing among us and not have known him. Let this sink in again. It will be better at the last day never to have been born than to have had Christ standing among us and not to have known him. What does that mean? That means you and I don't fully grasp what is in front of us. And this was the point John was saying. You religious people are looking for something. He is right here. And you're missing the point. You're missing the point of why you're coming at me. You're missing the point of why. Listen, John the Baptist died really young in his life. But you know why? Because he knew who he was. And when you know who you are, you can be effective in whatever it is that God has called you to do. That doesn't mean people will like it, understand it, or even know why. That's not the point. When you know who you are, you're saying, God, I'm submitting to you, I'm giving my life to you, and I don't know how this is going to turn out. While Oceans is a pretty song, what it's really saying is, God, I'm trusting you when I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know the answer. And God says, finally, you're at a place where you can fully trust me. Hello. Humility is essential for a correct view of yourself. You and I do not like a correct view of ourselves. Self-esteem is detrimental. Listen, the church the last 40 years, and I'll just say people of my kind, pastors, leaders, Christian leaders, they have made it more about themselves than they have Jesus. Don't amen too much. You're like, oh, sure they have. Yes, they have. You people. Because that's what we do. We say things like, yep, somebody else. Yep, somebody else has got this. Somebody else can be more effective. That's not the point. The point is that God has called you, the creator of the universe who knows you more than anybody else, knows the amount of hairs in, that he has called you to do something incredible, to do something powerful, and you disqualify yourself. You disqualify yourself because of what has happened to you. What if God wants to use what has happened to you to advance his kingdom, but you're so sorry for yourself that you're missing the point of what he's called you to do? We do, all of us, nobody exempt in this room. That takes an unbelievable amount of humility to be able to look at the mirror and really see what's going on. Because as I've always told us, that's not what we do. We evaluate ourselves based on our intentions. Well, I'm hoping I'm being good. My goal is to be good. I'm striving to have devotions. I'm striving to know Jesus. And so I'm okay. No, you're not. You haven't spent any time with Jesus. You've come to church every once in a while. What does this take? It takes humility to accurately understand where we really are. And this is what John the Baptist was saying. Who was he calling out? Religious leaders, you guys. He was calling out the leaders of the day, the people that had been around the longest, the people that were leading the charge yet missing the point. Okay? We're not exempt. Well, I've been in church for 25 years. Well, good for you. Let me get you a ribbon. We'll even bring you up if you want. That doesn't mean you're exempt from anything. None of us in this room are exempt. It says in verse 29, and we have to see this. Your gifts, your calling, will point people to Jesus when he comes. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is what John does. When he sees Jesus, he points people to who Jesus is. And this is what Jesus does. This is what Jesus can do. In your circumstance, in your work situation, in your family situation, when Jesus comes, how are we accurately describing him to others? It says, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who takes the sin of the world, he is coming to save you, to radically change you. Are we pointing people to that? Are people seeing that? What obstacles are keeping us from being a voice in the wilderness? What obstacles are standing in our way? What situation? You know what I love, Elena, about Jimmy the last 2 months of his life? Is he lived life to the fullest. You said that statement to me oftentimes. He loved life. And he loved right now outside weather. Being outside. But you know what I would say about that? He loved life before cancer. And to me, that's the testament. The testament isn't how did Jimmy live when he had cancer. The testament is how Jimmy lived his life. Living life to the fullest. We don't remember Jimmy for the last 2 months. We remember Jimmy for the way he lived. That's the testament. The testament is that when someone talks about you when you're gone, that they don't have to lie about you. That's the testament. The testament is that the man lived his life to the fullest, and he loved his family, and he loved his kids. That's the testament. This is what we want to say about us. Like, how are we doing? How are we effectively living this thing out? What's stopping you? What's standing in your way? And what I've heard from Jill, and what I heard from Jimmy, and what you'll hear from Elena is whatever it is that's stopping you, don't let it stop you. It's an attempt to get you to stop and listen. When you stop, the kingdom of God advancing stops. When fear wins, we lose. When your marriage is losing, we're all losing. When situations stop you, everything in its tracks stop. Why? Because we're seeing what's important. We're seeing what's effective. We're seeing what it is that's holding us back. You know what it takes for me to do what John did? He came so that we would repent. What does repent mean? Repent means not just that I'm going this direction, that I'm stopping where I'm going and I'm turning and going the other direction. You know what stops us from repenting? Not being humble. Again, because we get so offended. You guys, we have to have real conversation. And the real conversation is not to harm you, but to grow you. The real conversation is to advance the kingdom. Have you ever been with family and they sit you down? You're about to eat a meal and you sit at a table and it's super awkward. Anybody in this room not mind awkward? Anybody? Just me? Anybody else? Like, let's be real, thank you. Oh, I know Luanda. I'm like, Mark, you don't mind awkward? I'm just looking to see where my people are, you know? I mean, awkward in the sense of, oh, how do I describe this well? Awkward in the sense of, almost nothing shocks you, right? Almost like, that is so real. I think we're all wired for something real. We want something real. Why? Because when something real happens, I'm forced to make a decision. And I'm forced to go in the direction of what's real. And at least now I can move on. So I've heard people say, I had a real conversation with my spouse, and where my spouse is and where I am are on different pages. But now that we know and we've had the conversation, we're now going this direction. Well, why? Why? Because you had to make it awkward for the realness to happen. And when the realness happens, now we can go this direction. We can go this direction. Why are we afraid of having conversation? Because we're so consumed by what people think and what people want that we miss the point. And what's missing? The kingdom of God is missing. It's not advancing. And John said, this is why I came, to prepare the way of Jesus. Listen, sometimes the bad that happens to us is an attempt to prepare the way for Jesus to show up. Because you and I love Jesus showing up, but we want Jesus to show up when our life is comfortable. And that's not when he shows up. He shows up to make our life sometimes uncomfortable. Why? Because you and I think we got it. And you may never say, Jesus, I'm not going to pray today because I got it. But your life, my life demonstrates, I got this one, Jesus. I don't really need you. How am I preparing the way of Jesus to come?